For the Official Record, written by Wandering Jedi Historian and read by Flower Parish. This is a Star Wars fic, rated for general audiences, featuring the relationships Cody / Obi-Wan Kenobi and Qui-Gon Jinn / Shmi Skywalker. This is part of the Sea Means Freedom series. Summary. Obi-Wan returns home for a visit. Cody, like a good husband, accompanies him. Wooly goes along too, both as an added precaution and to encourage Cody to play nicely with Obi-Wan's father. I can hear you thinking, Share, Cody murmured into his shoulder. Obi-Wan smiled and pressed back into his husband's hold. Now that we're out to sea again, I really should actually go back to my father's estate for a few days, he said. There are things I'd like to have with me and things I'd like to send back to our home in Mandalore. And I should make sure my father has my estates properly in hand. He always has, but I need to make sure that it will remain that way. I didn't want to go back until after we were married, just to be certain he couldn't interfere. When we stopped in Pantora for mail, I had word from a friend of mine in Alderaan. With his assistance, I assured that our marriage was legally registered within the Republic. There's nothing my father could do against it now. Cody blew out a breath. Obi-Wan, he whispered. Smiling fondly, Obi-Wan turned to face him. Funny enough, there aren't any laws on the books to prevent a Republic noble from marrying a Mandalorian, he declared. And as you've never been arrested on Republic soil, you don't have a criminal record there, so there was no impediment legally either, since Republic law requires an arrest for the official record to be created. Cody winced. And if your father should decide to rectify that situation? With a grin, Obi-Wan leaned in for a kiss. You're the husband of a noble now, he replied. And the warrant for you, Commodore, has vanished. Blinking, Cody replied, How? Still grinning, Obi-Wan explained, To convict you, they'd have to convene a special hearing of the nobility, and the standards of proof required for conviction in that court are much higher than in standard law courts. The time and expense is simply not worth it unless they have irrefutable proof of significant wrongdoing. Honestly, just capturing a few ships and taking their cargo isn't going to be worth their effort. Now, if you went around killing innocent travelers and leaving merchants without enough food or water to return to land, that would be a different matter. Truthfully, they know that you true Mandalorians take care of the problem of many of the worst pirates out there. So it's worth it to turn a blind eye to you for the most part. Occasional warrants for high-profile captains get issued just to maintain appearances, but it's truly rarely pursued unless they cause a significant loss of innocent life. Blowing out a breath, Cody said, We have our own courts that deal with captains that start to get too cavalier about taking lives. It's one thing in a battle against Death Watch or slave traders. Merchants should be captured with minimal casualties and still left able to return home. Kissing him again, Obi-Wan replied, I know, darling. So, even just trying to have you arrested to be petty would be very difficult for my father. And grandfather is too busy being annoyed with my father for not just paying the ransom in the first place to bother. Pressing their foreheads together, Cody laughed fondly. You really planned this thoroughly, didn't you? Obi-Wan nodded. I was not about to risk a meet-the-family trip resulting in you getting arrested, he declared. Assuming you even want to come with me. I just wanted to be sure I created a situation where you could accompany me, if you wish to. Running a hand up and down Obi-Wan's bare back, Cody admitted, I can't say I'm in a hurry to meet your father. After a pause, he added, But your stepmother and little brother sound worth meeting. At least one other would accompany us, though. That's standard protocol. Obi-Wan considered that for a moment. It was an understandable, even wise, precaution. Just to play it safe, it needed to be someone without an official arrest on Republic soil. He didn't want to risk giving his father a chance to punish someone else because he couldn't punish Cody. Shmi would adore Wooly, he declared after a moment. She'll take one look at him and threaten my father's continued existence if he does anything to make Wooly sad. Cody snickered. That generally is the reaction he gets. It's the kicked puppy eyes he can produce on demand, he replied. Which is hilarious, considering he's as formidable a fighter as any of us. Obi-Wan hummed. It helps him be underestimated, though, and that gives him an advantage. Nodding, Cody said, it's why he perfected it. He's talked his way out of trouble far too many times with that look, too. It would be annoying if it wasn't so useful. Cody smothered a laugh behind his hand as he watched Wooly fuss with the ties on his shirt for a fifth time. Woolika, relax, Cody soothed from where he was making sure the last of his bags were ready to go. He'd opted for two well-worn travel packs, rather than unpacking everything from his sea trunk and leaving it strewn across his room. The visit was only to last a few days, so he didn't need his entire wardrobe with him. While he wanted to meet Obi-Wan's brother and stepmother, he wasn't overly concerned about trying to impress them. Flushing and looking down, Wooly blurted, I don't want to be the reason you make a bad impression. Smiling fondly at the younger pirate, Cody reached out and tugged him in to press their foreheads together. Just be you and it'll be fine, Cody assured. Obi-Wan didn't even hesitate to pick you to be the one to come with us. He's sure you'll do well. Do you think we'd both be wrong? Some of the tension bled from Wooly's shoulders at that. No, Wooly murmured. Pulling away, Cody patted Wooly on the shoulder. Smoothing his shirt down again, Wooly asked, Are you sure I look okay to meet Obi-Wan's stepmother? Laughing softly, Cody nodded. You look fine. Wooly reluctantly nodded. Are we ready to go? Obi-Wan asked briskly, but not unkindly, as he stepped back into the room. The carriage is here. Cody and Wooly shared a look and nodded. Ready if you are, Cody assured. Obi-Wan's smile was a bit forced as he said, My bags are already waiting. Waxer carried them to the carriage for me while I came to fetch you. Slinging one bag onto his arm and picking the other up, Cody replied, Then lead the way. Wooly smiled shyly. My bag is waiting by the gangway. Smile softening, Obi-Wan replied, Then let us be on our way. It warmed Cody's heart to watch Obi-Wan be so kind to Wooly. While Wooly was fully trained and highly skilled, he was still the youngest member of the crew, and he'd lost his brothers, both older than him, in a battle against slavers. Cody couldn't help but feel a bit more protective of him than the other members of the crew. It was in his nature as an older brother. Fortunately, Wooly didn't mind. He followed after them up to the main deck and down the gangway to shore. The port they arrived in was the better part of a day's carriage ride from Obi-Wan's family home. Interestingly enough, the lands they'd traverse first were Obi-Wan's holdings of Stujon. Cody looked forward to seeing them. After seeing their things secured, the three of them climbed into the carriage. Technically, this one is mine, Obi-Wan explained. We'll stop at Ben Hall, my estate, just after midday to stretch our legs, have a light meal, and exchange horses. We should arrive at Lightpoint Hall just in time for supper. We'll need to make a longer stop at Ben Hall on the return journey so I can meet with the steward who oversees my lands. Cody nodded slowly at that. He was the eldest son of the Mandalore, but he didn't have anything so lavish as an estate. Not for the first time, he wondered why Obi-Wan had been so willing to give up this sort of luxury for him. As a Commodore, Cody had the largest quarters on the ship, and his home on land was moderately sized and well-furnished, but nothing that came close to what Obi-Wan was used to at home. I love you, Obi-Wan said softly, as if he could guess Cody's thoughts. Taking Obi-Wan's hand and squeezing it, Cody replied, I love you too. Obi-Wan leaned into his side. Grandfather may or may not visit while we're here, Obi-Wan continued. He's still angry with my father, and when those two argue, it's best for everyone if they just don't see one another. While all members of his family had strong personalities, Cody genuinely couldn't fathom such an estrangement. It wasn't that they never argued, they certainly did that, but the idea of intentionally going long periods without speaking just never would have occurred to any of them. And Cody knew that his father still mourned the loss of Jaster Muriel, Django's adopted father, even though he'd been dead since before Cody himself was even born. He wondered if the difference was more of a matter of culture or personality, or some combination of the two. They lapsed into silence then. Wooly yawned and settled in for a nap. "We'll wake you if you manage to sleep all the way until midday," Obi-Wan promised. Wooly smiled and thanked him before closing his eyes. Obi-Wan nudged Cody's shoulder. "You could follow his lead," Obi-Wan offered. "I know you were up late making sure everything was taken care of for while you're gone." Wincing, Cody shook his head. "I likely won't sleep particularly well until we're back on the ship," Cody admitted. "Being on land anywhere but home feels vulnerable." Squeezing his hand, Obi-Wan offered, "I understand." The next few hours passed in a comfortable ebb and flow of conversation and periods of silence. The carriage itself was far more comfortable than any Cody had been in before. It made the trip more pleasant than if it had been in a cheap, hired carriage. Wooly's eyes fluttered open, just as Obi-Wan said, "Should be less than half an hour now." Cody grinned as Wooly blinked rapidly in an attempt to wake up. "Did you stay up too late working on your book?" Cody teased. Ducking his head, Wooly murmured, "Maybe." Obi-Wan chuckled. "The village just a short distance from my estate has a lovely shop with inks and quills and stationery. It benefits from being near a decently sized port," Obi-Wan explained. "We can pay a visit on the return if you need more ink." Wooly beamed at the offer, and yet again Cody was struck by how wonderful it was that Obi-Wan fits so well into his life. As they exited the carriage at Ben Hall, Cody murmured, "Now, be on your best behavior." Grinning, Wooly replied, "Sir, I'm here to remind you about that." Cody groaned. Waxer had joked about the same thing, that Wooly was there to give Cody the sad eyes if he got too close to saying what he really thought about Obi-Wan's father at any point. It wasn't necessarily inaccurate, though. Cody knew himself well enough to know the visit was going to be trying. The staff at Obi-Wan's estate greeted him pleasantly and put out a spread that did not fit Cody's idea of light for a meal. When they prepared to leave, one of the maids also brought them a travel basket with additional snacks for the rest of the journey. "We can bring the basket back with us on the return," Obi-Wan said brightly as he inspected what was inside. Cody laughed. "Your estate, your basket. You could bring it back to the ship with you if you wanted." Obi-Wan hummed thoughtfully. "I suppose you're right about that, but it's not like we really have a need." Shaking his head, Cody replied, "No, we really don't." The meal and the lack of sleep combined to make Cody yawn. "Darling, nap," Obi-Wan urged. "We're safe enough here." Wooly added, "I'll stay awake and keep watch." Trusting them, Cody let his eyes drift shut. Obi-Wan smiled softly as Cody let himself doze. He pulled a book out of his bag and started to read. Wooly looked out the window, taking in the scenery that was quite different from Mandalore. Stujon and Sereno both had rolling hills and forests compared to the wide Mandalorian plains. "Anything in particular I need to know before we get there?" Wooly asked quietly, a little over an hour into their afternoon's travels. "Anything to watch out for?" Closing his book, Obi-Wan shook his head. "No, there should be little cause for concern of any sort," Obi-Wan assured. He gave Wooly the brief version of what he'd told Cody. A pang of guilt went through Obi-Wan as Wooly slumped in relief. "We know you love him," Wooly said, "and we know you'd never intentionally risk him, but there was some concern that your father could use this to hurt Cody." Obi-Wan reached out and patted Wooly's arm. "I would never have asked him to come if I thought there was cause for worry," Obi-Wan assured. Grinning, he added, "The friend that registered the marriage in Alderaan is the Viceroy of Alderaan himself, husband of Queen Brea. He put his personal seal on the wedding registry. My father doesn't have the personal clout, shall we say, to be worth most nobles wanting to go anywhere near the mess it would cause if Cody were to be arrested for anything short of committing a cold-blooded murder in the town square in broad daylight. Wooly's eyes widened. You're friends with the Viceroy of Alderaan? Smiling, Obi-Wan replied, and the Queen, though I am closer to Bail than to Brea. Mouth agape, Wooly just stared. And you, but I know you love Cody, but why give all this up? Wooly asked. Lands, fancy carriages, friends with royalty. Gesturing out the window, Obi-Wan pointed out, this is all still mine. I didn't give up my lands or my responsibilities. I maintain correspondence with my friends, though obviously it's less frequent than before. I do miss them, though, so if this visit goes well, I hope Cody will be open to a visit to Alderaan next year. I know it's out of the way, so I won't ask to squeeze it in yet this season. I don't think we'd truly have the time. While we're at sea this year, Cody's home is being expanded to add a larger library for me, a personal study for me, and a small greenhouse. That's part of the reason for the visit. There are things I want to send back to Mandalore for the house. Truthfully, the only thing I gave up was my very nice bed. Unfortunately, it's too big to fit in Cody's quarters. But Cody is worth giving that up. Considering the words, Wooly nodded and turned back to the window. Obi-Wan fussed with the buttons on his coat yet again. Cody was surprised to see his usually unflappable husband so flustered. Share, you're acting like a nervous schoolboy, Cody teased. With a huff, Obi-Wan grumbled, I feel like one. My father has that ability, no matter how old I am. Wooly grumbled, pretty sure Bwire all have that skill. After losing both of their older sons, Wooly's parents had become a little overbearing for a time. Cody certainly had more sympathy for that than for Obi-Wan's father's behavior. Didn't make it less frustrating, though. The carriage rolled to a stop. Here we go, Obi-Wan murmured. The footman opened the door, and Cody stepped out without hesitation. He turned and helped Obi-Wan from the carriage. Wooly hopped down with ease, smiling tentatively. Squaring his shoulders, Obi-Wan moved to the small group of people waiting for them. Shmi, my dear, lovely to see you, Obi-Wan greeted warmly. The woman, Obi-Wan's stepmother apparently, smiled brightly and offered Obi-Wan a hug. Cody hadn't thought that Republic nobility really did that. Pulling away from her, Obi-Wan was practically tackled by a dark blonde blur that could only be Anakin, Obi-Wan's stepbrother. Hello, Annie, Obi-Wan murmured with fondness as he tugged the boy close. Taking the initiative, Cody chose to introduce himself. Cody Fett, ma'am, Cody offered. Calling back over his shoulder, Obi-Wan added, Oldest son of Mandalore Fett, Cody is the Venalore. Shmi grinned brightly. Leave it to Obi-Wan to find a prince at sea. Cody bit back his standard response to that assertion. He wasn't a prince exactly. Mandalore didn't really do that, have the sort of royalty that most other places had. Still, he had officially been declared Venalore, the heir apparent, some time ago, so comparing him to a crown prince wasn't entirely wrong. Did he have to pick one from so far away? Anakin grumbled. Finally, drawing back from the boy, Obi-Wan soothed, Love doesn't care about distance, dear one. You'll understand when you get older. Anakin huffed, and Cody couldn't help but smother a grin behind his hand. Seemed that sort of thing was universal for little brothers everywhere. Finally, the tall, imposing man who could only be Obi-Wan's father spoke. Obi-Wan, glad you finally chose to visit. Posture going rigid, Obi-Wan replied, Hello, father. Cody bit back a curse. This visit was going to be the longest few days of his life. After an awkward greeting between Obi-Wan and his father, the man turned to Cody. He could feel Obi-Wan's father sizing him up. Beyond annoyed, Cody eyed the other man right back. He was the youngest Commodore in the Mandalorian fleet for a reason. He didn't get there by being willing to back down. "Wooly, this is Shmi," Obi-Wan said, drawing Cody's attention away from his stare-down with Qui-Gon. "Shmi, this is Wooly, a member of Cody's crew. He's an avid reader and aspiring writer." Obi-Wan's stepmother smiled brightly at Wooly. "It's a pleasure to meet you, Wooly," Shmi said kindly. "We shall have to discuss your literary interests while you are here." For a heartbeat, Cody considered that bringing Wooly might have been a terrible mistake. If this place had as large a library as he expected it did, they might never be able to drag Wooly out of it again. Wooly beamed at Shmi. "I look forward to it, ma'am." Idly, Cody knew that technically they should be acknowledging Shmi's rank as a noblewoman, but Cody wasn't going to unless Obi-Wan asked. He'd be respectful of her as a person, but he wasn't part of the Republic and felt no need to be overly concerned with their social expectations. Mandalorian tempers burned hot, and Cody had grown up with enough brothers to be very familiar with awkward or tense family meals because someone was upset. Still, this might take the title for most awkward family meal ever. Shmi, Kara bless her, tried her best, but that didn't help the tension. "How long will you be staying?" Shmi asked. Smiling politely, Obi-Wan told her, "Just a few days. I also need to make a stop to speak with my steward, and Cody can only be away so long." Qui-Gon snorted. "Yes, because one less pirate vessel at work is such a shame," Qui-Gon said. Cody shrugged. "I could say the same about Republic nobility, but that would imply you do work." Wooly shot him a disappointed look, and Cody sighed. Obi-Wan hid a grin in his wine glass. "How have your studies been going, Anakin?" Obi-Wan asked, redirecting the conversation. Anakin groaned. "It's so boring. I just want to be doing things, not stuck in my room with a stuffy old tutor." Cody smiled indulgently. "My brother Boba was always the same," Cody said. "He hated studying with tutors, but he loved it once he was able to be out in the world and learn new things through experience or with a mentor guiding him. Different people excel in different ways." Anakin nodded. "Yeah, I like having things to do with my hands," Anakin explained. "But I keep being told that's not something nobles do, and I hate it." Obi-Wan glared at his father. "Dear one, the good thing about being nobility is that, once we see to our responsibilities, the rest of our time is free to do with as we wish. That means if there's something that calls to you, then you can do it," Obi-Wan told him. "Let them think you are eccentric. It matters little." Shmi nodded. "I keep telling him that. He's already very good at fixing things for people in the village here, and the one on your lands. The people adore him for it." Sighing, Qui-Gon said, "I don't discourage it, but he needs to remember his primary duties first." Raising a brow, Obi-Wan replied, "With a well-trained, trustworthy steward, Anakin could do more or less as he wishes. Yes, it's important for him to understand it all, but there are options." Cody took a long drink from his glass of wine and resigned himself to a very long evening. By the time they collapsed into bed that night, Cody was exhausted. He swore it rivaled the bone-deep weariness that followed having to navigate through an unavoidable storm. Meeting a few people shouldn't be that draining, but apparently it was, at least this time. He only hoped that the rest of the visit didn't feel as strained. Obi-Wan deserved to be able to enjoy spending time with his family. Closing his eyes and cuddling up to his husband, Cody resolved once more to make the best of this. After all, at the end of the trip, Obi-Wan would leave with him and they'd go home. Together. Cody just had to keep reminding himself of that. He couldn't let the doubts creep in. Cody liked Obi-Wan's stepmother. She was kind and welcomed them warmly. He was also fairly certain she'd already decided to adopt Wooly, grown man or not. He voiced his thoughts, and Obi-Wan laughed. I rather expected she would, Obi-Wan admitted, as he grinned into his teacup the next afternoon. Cody's own calf was cooling in his cup while he watched Shmi show Wooly one of her books on herbal lore. She always seems to know who needs help or just someone to listen, Obi-Wan continued softly. I am incredibly grateful my father married her. Smiling, Cody replied, From the sounds of it, I have her to thank for your father changing his mind, so I'm very grateful for her too. Obi-Wan's grin softened into a smile. Shmi has frequently told me that all she cares about in a match for me is that I'm happy, Obi-Wan admitted. You make me happy, so nothing else matters as far as she's concerned. Cody struggled to accept it was that easy to win Shmi over, but he hoped that was true. He loved Obi-Wan with all his heart. The next day dawned clear and warm, a perfect day for one of the main points of their visit. Obi-Wan flittered about the room like a hummingbird, hovering but never truly stopping, a constant blur of motion in the rooms that had been his in the family home. Yes, add those to the stack here, thank you, Obi-Wan said to Wooly. Wooly nodded and added the box of books to the appropriate pile. And these are going where? Cody asked carefully. With a grin, Obi-Wan replied, Back home, darling. Don't worry. I'm not going to sink our ship with too many books. Cody chuckled. It's a good thing Monk's holds will be mostly empty after his trading run to Mon Cala. Not sure he'd fit all this otherwise. Obi-Wan's grin just widened. Yes, it truly is helpful, Obi-Wan agreed. Pointing at another shelf, he said, Wooly, if you could please pack those up and label the box as for Myri's library. I've read them, but I don't think they've made their way as far as Mandalore yet. Wooly beamed. Myri is going to be so excited. Jorb will need to expand the library building for her. Cody snickered, drawing a questioning sound from Obi-Wan. Jorb built her the current library, with help from others in the clan, as a wedding present when it became clear she just wasn't built for a life at sea, Cody explained. With a laugh, Obi-Wan said, Your cousin is just further proof that you fat men certainly don't do anything by halves when you fall in love. Cody smiled. We certainly don't, Cody agreed. Now, what are these other piles? And will we need to do this again at Ben Hall? Humming thoughtfully, Obi-Wan nodded. I won't take as long there, as I never properly moved there after coming of age. I visited, but never for more than a few days. This continued to be home, Obi-Wan admitted. As for the piles, there's the stack going back to Mandalore. Most is going to our house, but a number of books are going to Myri, and there's a few other odds and ends that Wooly advised the House Fet School might like. Then there's a pile of things I'm having relocated to Ben Hall in case we ever want to make a longer visit there. This smaller pile is for things I want to bring with me to the ship. And then there are also some things I no longer want, so they may be given away. Cody nodded slowly. Right. How can I help? Obi-Wan agreed to the meeting with his father reluctantly that afternoon. And you are absolutely certain this is what you want? Qui-Gon demanded as soon as the door to his study was closed. With a sharp nod, Obi-Wan replied, It is, and it's far too late for you to try and stop me. Cody and I are married. We married in Mandalore, and Bail helped me register it in the Republic. He signed off on our paperwork personally. Qui-Gon sank into the chair behind his desk. I suppose it truly is a settled matter then, Qui-Gon allowed, unless you decide you want to divorce him. Obi-Wan raised a brow. Absolutely not, Obi-Wan replied. Nodding, Qui-Gon said, I just want what's best for you, Obi-Wan, and I do want you to be happy, whatever you might think. Softening a little, Obi-Wan assured, I do know that, Father. We just don't agree on what that is. We often do not, and that has always been one of our biggest struggles. Cody makes me happy, and with our marriage registered properly, it's safe enough for him to bring the ship to Sereno so I can check in person, rather than just by correspondence with my steward. I can continue to see to my responsibilities and be happy. With a sad smile, Qui-Gon replied, I find I must agree with Anakin. I wish you found it closer to home. A small part of Obi-Wan agreed, but he loved Cody far too fiercely to give in to it. It's not like I'll never visit again, Obi-Wan reminded. He'd been prepared to accept that possibility if things had gone poorly. He didn't want it, but he'd been prepared for it. For all he knew, his father and Cody would never be friends. He was grateful they were managing to get along well enough that Obi-Wan didn't have to make such a decision. At breakfast the next morning, Shmi invited them for a picnic in the gardens that afternoon. The first thing Cody noticed when they arrived for the picnic was how relaxed Obi-Wan was. I've always loved this garden, Obi-Wan explained. It's so relaxing and peaceful. For the first time, Cody regretted how much of the year they spent at sea. He couldn't offer to build Obi-Wan something like this back home, as they were only in Mandalore for the winter. Unless... He made a mental note to discuss a potential greenhouse for Obi-Wan. It wouldn't be the same, but maybe it could be a good compromise. Cody had a few cousins that didn't go to sea who could be trusted to tend to it while they were gone. It would take some doing, but perhaps by the following year, they could pick up plants for Obi-Wan after all. I can practically hear the wheels turning in your mind, darling, Obi-Wan observed. Cody smiled. You know me too well, Share, but we can talk about it later. I don't want to be rude to Shmi, and we'll be late if I tell you now. Obi-Wan stared curiously, but nodded. Very well. They heard Wooly and Shmi chatting amiably away before they ever found them. Ah, there you are, Shmi said with a wide smile when they arrived. We were beginning to wonder. Wooly grinned. I said you wouldn't let yourselves get distracted. Cody gently nudged Wooly as he sat down on the lovely picnic blanket Shmi had set out. Behave, Cody chided. Wooly looked back at him with wide, faux-innocent eyes. Whatever do you mean, sir? Wooly asked. I'm the portrait of innocence. Obi-Wan chuckled as Anakin giggled and Shmi shook her head with a fond smile. No wonder you two get along so well, Shmi said to Obi-Wan. You have a similar humor. Cody sighed dramatically. And I don't know how I put up with either of them. Batting his eyelashes in an overly dramatic fashion, Obi-Wan said, We are delightful, and you know it. Shmi laughed. You really have found the right person for you, Obi-Wan, Shmi said. I truly am so very happy for you. Anakin nodded slowly. Cody is pretty neat. Just too bad he's from so far away. Cody smiled indulgently at Obi-Wan's little brother. He'll visit, I promise. Perking up, Anakin suggested, Or I can visit you at sea. Obi-Wan's eyes widened. Looking directly at Anakin, Cody said, That is something your mother would need to be okay with, and not until you're a bit older. There are also things you'd need to learn first. Ships can be dangerous if you don't know what you're doing on one. Anakin straightened. Mom, can I? Shmi looked torn. As Cody said, it would not be until you are older. We can discuss it more then if it still interests you. Anakin nodded. Carefully, Obi-Wan steered them back to safer topics. Have you planned any additions to the garden this year? Shmi smiled. A few things I think you'll like. On their final day at Lightpoint Hall, Obi-Wan took Cody and Wooly to the nearby village after breakfast. Shmi and Anakin tagged along. They sampled a few baked goods from the baker. Obi-Wan showed Wooly the small bookshop and happily encouraged a few purchases. Shmi purchased a few things for their afternoon tea. Anakin had to be dragged away from the blacksmith after nearly half an hour. All in all, it was a pleasant excursion. The afternoon was spent enjoying the last day of their visit and preparing to leave. Cody and Obi-Wan stole a quiet hour in the garden alone, just to relax, before being dragged into a disagreement Wooly and Anakin were having over the best way to climb a tree. Only Shmi coming to collect Anakin to prepare for supper stopped the pair from attempting to prove their preferred tactic to be superior. "You're the adult here," Cody scolded. Wooly drooped. "Sorry, sir." Obi-Wan grinned. "Honestly, Cody, it's good for Anakin to have someone to disagree with him." Cody raised a brow. Obi-Wan remained unrepentant. Eventually, the three of them retreated to the house to prepare for supper themselves. "We will miss you, but we are glad you visited," Shmi told Obi-Wan over supper. "And it was lovely to meet both of you as well." Wooly beamed. "I'm glad I was able to come." Cody smiled fondly. "I appreciate your hospitality," Cody replied. "Given the circumstances, not everyone would be so welcoming." Qui-Gon snorted. "I cannot possibly imagine why." Obi-Wan frowned. "Father, shall we discuss who decided not to pay the ransom and gave the opportunity to better get to know Cody in the first place?" Grimacing, Qui-Gon inclined his head. "A fair point, Obi-Wan. And I, too, am grateful you decided to visit after all." Smiling tentatively, Obi-Wan nodded. "I am too," Obi-Wan admitted. "I am too." Cody could feel the tension melting from his shoulders as they rode away from Lightpoint Hall. He'd made it through the visit without spilling any blood, and Obi-Wan was in fact in the carriage with him to return. All in all, Cody considered it a success. He and Obi-Wan's father would likely never be on particularly good terms, but they were able to be civil enough. Cody would be content with that. It made him feel slightly guilty that Obi-Wan got along with his father so well, while he only just tolerated Obi-Wan's, but there was little to be done about it. "I miss the vigilance," Wooly admitted, as Lightpoint Hall faded from sight. "Your father's house is wonderful, but it's not..." Wooly trailed off and looked down with an embarrassed wince. "But it's not home," Obi-Wan finished for him, tone gentle and reassuring, utterly without judgment. "That's all right. I am merely grateful that you accompanied us at all." With a smile, he added, "And Shmi genuinely likes you." Beaming, Wooly nodded. "She sent a whole crate of inks and paper with us for me. All she asked is that when my book is done, I send her a copy." Cody bit back a groan, and Obi-Wan snickered. "What, darling? Don't fancy my stepmother reading about our whirlwind romance," Obi-Wan teased. Burying his face in his hands, Cody replied, "No, and I'm surprised you do." With a shrug, Obi-Wan said, "Considering I'm rather fond of how it turned out, I can't say I mind at all." Softening, Cody murmured, "All right, perhaps it isn't so terrible a thought." Wooly grinned, utterly unrepentant. "That's the spirit, sir," Wooly crowed. Cody sighed heavily. It only made Wooly grin all the wider. The end.